If I had to think of a time I personally smelled my worst, it would have to be after one of Jay's concerts, an outside concert at that. My right armpit was ripe for the pickings, smelled like beef stroganoff. I kid you not, it was rancid. As a special offer, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at LumiDeodorant.com. And that's LumiDeodorant.com. I personally freaking love Lumi. I have every scent. My favorite one is the toasted coconut, though, because even when you sweat, it still smells so good and so yummy, and you feel like you're on a tropical island. But I promise you guys, any sort of smells you could possibly have, Lumi will cover it up. Once again, as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at LumiDeodorant.com. From crash diets to fad diets, injections and pills, the weight loss industry is a cash machine, but it is all temporary because once you stop, most people gain the weight back plus a little extra. Imagine all that time and money and you're still left hiding your body under baggy clothes or turning the lights off when you're with your significant other because you're shy or embarrassed about your body. Well, Sono Bello can help you change the way you look at yourself. In one visit, you will see the difference in your tummy, side, thighs, arms, or wherever you have stubborn fat. You guys know me. I let you guys know when I get stuff done. I absolutely do not see anything wrong with getting a little bit of laser lipo done. I had it done right before the Grammys and it smoothed my hips for my dress. And let me tell you, I will do it again and again and again. Schedule your free consultation and learn all about microlaser fat removal. Give yourself the gift of a full body reset. You deserve to be happy. Sono Bello is running a great special right now. Visit SonoBello.com/bunny, B-U-N-N-I-E. That's SonoBello, SonoBello.com/bunny. Hey guys, I need to ask you a question. I want to know, why in the hell are you not on Patreon? I don't think you guys even realize how much content we have on Patreon. Let me break it down for you. We have the Bunny XO show. We have Meet the D-Fords. We have Popaganda. We have a cooking show that's coming. We have more shows that we're adding. And not to mention, we have the visuals of the podcast. Not only that, we have four tiers that caters to everybody's budget and everybody gets the podcast. There's no more excuses. Stop listening right now and head over to www.patreon.com/dumblondpodcast and sign up. Stop missing out. We have built a huge community over there, guys. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of people over there. We even have live chats that I actually am talking in every single night. I'm in there just confessing all of my sins to you guys. I mean, it gets a little ridiculous. Last but not least, we give away gifts every freaking month. I'm talking like signed stuff from Jay and I, lives. You just never know what kind of surprise you're going to get. It's like a Cracker Jack box. I love the community that we've built over there at Patreon. If you are already a Patreon member, I freaking love you, dude. Thank you so much. From my sideshow tier to the carnival tier to the ringleader tier to the main attraction, you guys are my babies for life, my writers. If I could, I would literally make out with each and every one of you. I love you guys so much. And that's a lot of kisses, actually. Gotta go, bye. Is this thing on?
Bonnie, who used to be a former sex worker and now hosts the podcast Dumb Blonde.
Most little girls grow up wanting to be doctors and lawyers and shit. And I was like, I want to be super hot, make a lot of fucking money, and be a rock star's wife. That was my goal as a child. And here we are.
What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Dumb Blonde. Today, I got my girl Winter Blanco in the house, baby.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Dude, I feel like this has been a long time coming.
Yeah, I do too.
Like, I'm so excited to have you here.
Me too.
I love how outspoken you are online because it reminds me of myself.
Okay, so you've seen me.
Oh, yeah.
Do too much version. Online.
No, okay. But is it too much or are you just, you know, kind of standing up for yourself and defending yourself?
Like, definitely, I say standing up for myself.
Absolutely. Me too. I will fight bullies all day long.
Oh, me too. 100%.
Don't start none, won't be none.
Period.
So I'm glad I got you you on the hot seat because I was watching one of your podcasts last night, because you have a podcast called Behind the Likes.
Yes.
And I was watching an episode where you were actually, you know, talking about a lot of stuff from your childhood. And it just kind of intrigued me because I don't get to hear a lot you talking a lot about your childhood. When you do talk about it, you kind of pass over it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what happened. I had to overcome this. I had to survive this. But you never go into, like, detail. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to just take a trip down memory lane with you. Is that okay?
Yes.
Also, we have her co-host Shai Fontanette here, and she's going to join us in a little bit once we get past Winter's childhood. So, so where'd you grow up?
I'm from the Bay Area, and I moved to LA when I was like 17. Mm-hmm. So I've lived out here for 17, 18, 19. I'm 19 now, so 2 years. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, no, I've lived here for like 10, 11 years.
Gotcha. So yeah. You grew up in a single mom household, yeah. Correct?
Yes.
I did see a picture of your dad because, you know, your ethnicity is always under question, and we'll get into that later online. And Dad's pretty hot.
Oh.
No? Well, did I not see the right picture?
Ew. People do say that to me, but
I was like, for a dad, right, it's your dad.
Yeah. I mean.
So you were raised in a single mom household. Mm-hmm. Was dad never present in your life, or?
So my dad is British, and my dad was deported from America when I was like, I don't know, a young thing. I don't remember what age I was, but he was deported from America, and then he ended up going to jail. When I was younger, I used to think he got deported from America and went to jail immediately. But I guess he got deported from America and then went to prison for like 20 years in England.
Oh my goodness.
So he's deported. He's never allowed to come back to America. Like, I can't have him one day come out here. Like, right. Never could visit him in prison. Like, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, my mom raised me.
What did he go to prison for?
My dad went to prison for sexual assault. Mm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a lot of people don't know that. I did open up and talk about it in my book. I've written 2 books. Mm-hmm. One is See, I Was Right. The second is You Should Have Listened. So I did open up about that in my first book. So some people do know it. I don't really talk about it all the time just because it's like it makes people uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And it's just like one of those things, like if you bring up like, oh, my parent, like if my parent died, and then everybody's like, oh, awkward, like I'm so sorry, like, or, you know, like, so. I don't really talk about it that much, but yeah, that's
it's
what
not
happened.
Your fault though that your dad chose that path. So yeah. I don't ever want you to feel like you have to take that on like that, you know.
Yeah.
What he did is what he did, and that's not a reflection of you.
Yeah, no, I 100% know that. I just think that the internet is just so weird.
They're like, fucking assholes.
Yeah, the internet is just so weird, and then like, you know, people are so obsessed with, like, as you said, like my ethnicity and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like they kind of make me have to like claim my father, and I'm like, I don't even want to claim him to begin with, like, you know. So
understandably, yeah. And I hope maybe, you know, you talking about it on this podcast will make people see, like, you know, you got to stop forcing people to claim parents that they don't even have a relationship with.
Right. I definitely think so. People do too much.
So growing up with your mom, what was life like growing up with mama?
Growing up with my mom was I love my mother to death now. Like, we've definitely come a long way, I will say that. But growing up with my mother was just like terrible. Like, it was, I grew up in a very violent, angry household. I did not grow up in a loving, affectionate home. My mother literally told me, I can remember the first time I remember my mom telling me that she loved me was the day my grandma died. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like 2013 or something.
How old were you?
I don't remember. I was probably like 17 or 18. Oh, I don't remember exactly. But I do remember, like, that was when me and my mom started being like, I love you. Like, you know, when you hang up the phone, you're like, okay, I love you. Mm-hmm. Like, that type of thing. So we never had that relationship. And I just, you know, I don't know. My mom was young when she had me. She was only 21 when I was born. And like, when I was younger, I used to think like that's grown. But like, now that I'm 30 years old and I look back and I'm like, okay, you were actually like a 21-year-old kid with your own set of trauma from your parents, like, you know, having to deal with like being a single mom. And like, I was no easy kid to deal with. Like, I was terrible. Like, I was really bad. I probably had like my own issues, like dealing with like my father not being there.
But you're a product of your environment. You know? Yeah. I grew up in an extremely abusive household too. My stepmother was so abusive. She used to put my head through doors. Like, it was crazy. And I was an extremely fucking rebellious child.
Yeah.
And that's because
you're raised in that environment. You don't know any different. So of course you're going to automatically want to rebel.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I've always been that way. I've always been I've been very hard-headed. I've been very bull. I'm a Taurus. Like, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but like, I would definitely give my mother hell. And like, looking back, like, I understand now, like, she was just trying to deal with a freaking crazy ass kid.
Was your mom the one that was abusive to you?
My mom. Okay, so my mom, like, I'm not gonna sit here and just be like, my mom would just like beat on me. Like, she wasn't like that, like, when I was a kid. But like, my mom just, it was like living in a house with your enemy. Like, that's like the best way that I could describe it. Like, living in a house with your enemy, we're always arguing. We just hated each other. Me and my mom 100% hated each other. We did not love each other. Like,
that's the worst, having to grow up walking on eggshells. And any sort of emotional abuse is, I think, 10 times worse than physical abuse. There gets to a point, like, when you're in an abusive relationship, you're like, just fucking hit me instead of playing these fucking games with me, you know? And it can be like that with a parent, too.
I think that with me, it just always kind of felt like my mom was, like, never on my side. Like, that's, like, a big thing that we even go through to this day. Because, like, if I go through something, like, say it's online or something, and my mom is like, well, you did this, or like, well, you need to think about, I'll be like, why can't you just ever have my fucking back? Yeah. Like, you never have my back. Like, I would get in trouble in school and my mom wouldn't have my back. I would, you know, go through stuff with friends and my mom would have my friends back. Like, because my mom just hated me. She was an enemy. She was like literally an op.
Did you think maybe she was jealous of you?
I don't think my mom was jealous. No, my mom wasn't jealous of me. I definitely had some aunties in my life that were jealous of me, but my mom was never jealous of me. I think that, I don't know why my mom hated me. She hated me and I hated her too. So I can't really just like, you know,
put your finger on it.
I can't put my finger on it, but I was pretty fucking terrible. And like, if I was 21 and I had this crazy ass kid who had her own set of problems on top of me being a kid, like, I don't think I would be able to deal with it. So,
So growing up in that environment, how did you do in school and stuff like that? What was your escape?
My escape, I don't really think I had an escape. When I was growing up in school, I was bad in school. Like, I was the same. Yeah, like, same. I didn't listen. Like, I didn't want to follow rules. That was always what, you know, teachers would say is, she doesn't listen to anything we say. And I was just very, like, disobedient, like, 100%. Couldn't tell me nothing. So, to this day, I just want to do what I want to do. And also, like,
I always say I was a rebel without a cause. And that sounds like you, too.
Yeah, like, I just, I hated school. I hated being told what to do. I would skip school. I wouldn't go. I didn't even graduate high school. I was like, this is not for me. I feel like everybody's dumb. I'm smart. Like, I'll figure it out. Like, that was just like my mindset. So I wasn't good in school.
So how long did you live at home for? Did you live at home until you were 18, or did you leave early?
So when I was growing up, keep in mind, I write about all these like in-depth stories like in my book. So it's like funny because like I don't really talk about it, but
I can tell it's making you really uncomfortable to have to talk about it.
I'm not uncomfortable to talk about it. It's just so like, I don't know, it's just weird because like I'm just like this different person now. Like, I'm just like this grown woman, and then I like think back to like this person who technically I am, but like I don't like 100% feel like
it's your testimony though. And I think that a lot of girls that look up to you, of course, you know, 100% read her books, but I think it's good for girls online who look up to you to be able to watch this podcast and, you know, listen to how far you've come, you know.
Yeah, I don't really talk about it often. A lot of people actually see me online and they're like, this silver spoon fed ass bitch. And I'm just like, you literally have no idea. But no, for your question, like, I wasn't always living with my mom. My mom would kick me out all the time. My mom would, her thing was she would kick me out and turn my phone off. So I would have to just be out there stranded in the world, like, you know. So I would like bounce from friends' houses, cousins' houses, like say with my aunts. Like,
at all ages?
I don't know when this started. I mean, I don't know, maybe like 13, 14. I don't know. But for a long time. And I wouldn't like necessarily have one place to just be like, I live here. Like, I know that I probably could go back to like be with my mom and like live with my mom, but it was like, it was hell. It was literally like hell living with my mother. So
I left home at 14 and never went back.
Yeah, I would rather sleep on the floor of somebody's house or have nowhere to go for the night than go live with my mom. So like I definitely had to go through, you know, those growing pains. I got my first job when I was, I think I was 16, and it was at Hooters, and then I got fired from Hooters and I became a stripper at 17.
Your first job was Hooters?
Yep.
Mine was Fatburger. We had two different goals.
I had to take the freaking train to San Francisco, and I was like, I'm going to get a job. Like, I'm going to just try to get a job. Got hired. They hated me. I had red hair piercings and tattoos. Mm. I was a little ass girl. I thought I was grown. And I couldn't even work on the floor at Hooters. I had to work in the front, like, just letting people come in because I was too young. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I got fired from that. And, like, this girl was just like, well, we're in the city, like, you know, there's strip clubs down the street. And I was like, okay. In my mind, I'm like, I'm too young for that, but let me go forge up some documents. So I, like, forged up my ID, forged a fake social.
And how old were you? 16?
I was 17.
17.
Yeah. So that I had found this freaking, I had this crackhead auntie who used to steal people's stuff. And she had this, I had, like, went through her stuff one day and I found this ID of this girl who looked like me. And the girl was, like, 21. So I was like, oh, I'm about to use this ID, like, whatever. And I forged up, like, a fake social. I had, like, photocopied it, had my friend photocopy it and, like, adjust it or for it to match the ID name. Mm-hmm. And then they just let me start working.
That is wild.
Yeah.
That you're 17. Because I went when I was 18 and I couldn't, I fucking ran out of the club. I farted on somebody and fucking ran out of the club. You know, I had bubble guts. It was scary. Some dude asked me to kick him in the nuts for like $700. Now I would do it no fucking problem. Right. But fucking back then I was like, oh my God, and fucking ran out of the club.
Girl.
What was your first night in the club like?
It was 17. Cool. I mean, it was cool. I remember I got tipped $20 on stage and I was like, oh my God, I'm making so much fucking money. Like, I was broke as hell. Like, I didn't have anything. Like, I literally had nothing. And at the time, I was sleeping on the couch of like a family friend's grandma, like with like two other people in the same living room. So I was just like, wow, like this is crazy. Like, I could actually make money doing this. And then I had a customer want to get like a VIP dance, and I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I don't know what the hell I was, like, you know, like I didn't know nothing. So I'm like,
did you have a friend to help you, or mm-hmm. you were just in there figuring it out?
I was just figuring it out.
Just green in the club.
Yeah, I think that I had like an older girl kind of was like, I think I was like, oh, like this is my first day, blah blah blah, and she was like telling me a couple little things, but I didn't know her beforehand. Like, she kind of just looked out for me a little bit in there and like kind of like gave me a little bit of free game. And I had like had this dance with this guy and he tried to like pull his dick out underneath his shirt. Mm. And I smacked him in the face like with my box, because like they gave us these metal money boxes. Yeah. And I smacked him in the face and I was like, fuck this, like this is weird as fuck. But it was like $200. So I was like, well, I got to keep the money. I didn't have to like keep doing this long ass dance because it was like 30 minutes or something for like $200 or some crazy shit.
I used to hate when they would wear the windbreakers.
What are they,
like the windbreaker pants, so the dudes, because when you do lap when you would do lap dances, they could like feel everything.
Just even,
I would hate doing dances for guys with fucking windbreakers.
Yeah, literally, even when I think back to like my life and like I had to entertain these freaking weirdos in the strip club, mm-hmm. like I'm just like, ugh, like, oh my God, like
it's how long so did you dance for?
I danced until I was really until I was 21. I had like went through hella shit, and then I had met a boyfriend who was like rich as fuck, and he was like, I don't want you dancing anymore. But I had like, you know, my money started dwindling away because like I'm not dancing. That's the only way I know how to really make money. This is like years later after I started. And I would go sneak out of his house, go to the strip club, sneak back in. And then the last time I ever did it, his homeboy was in the strip club, and I was like, please don't tell him, like I won't come back, like I promise. So he never told him, and I never went back.
From crash diets to fad diets, injections and pills, the weight loss industry is a cash machine, but it is all temporary because once you stop, most people gain the weight back plus a little extra. Imagine all that time and money and you're still left hiding your body under baggy clothes or turning the lights off when you're with your significant other because you're shy or embarrassed about your body. Well, Sono Bello can help you change the way you look at yourself. In one visit, you will see the difference in your tummy, side, thighs, arms, or wherever you have stubborn fat. You guys know me. I let you guys know when I get stuff done. I absolutely do not see anything wrong with getting a little bit of laser lipo done. I had it done right before the Grammys, and it smoothed my hips for my dress. And let me tell you, I will do it again and again and again. Schedule your free consultation and learn all about microlaser fat removal. Give yourself the gift of a full body reset. You deserve to be happy. Sono Bello is running a great special right now. Visit SonoBello.com/bunny, BUNNIE. That's SonoBello, SonoBello.com/bunny.
We all know there are things in life you have to compromise on, like going out instead of staying in, or eating fast food instead of cooking at home. But when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now, or they take your slightly sketchy insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist, and these docs all have verified reviews from actual real patients. I know the next time I need a doctor, I'm definitely logging on to ZocDoc. Go to ZocDoc.com/bunny, B-U-N-N-I-E, and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/bunny, B-U-N-N-I-E, ZocDoc.com/bunny.
So he didn't want you to work. Mm-mm. He had money, but mm-hmm. then you, when you were in the relationship with him, did he try to control you with money? Is that kind
he
of
he didn't
what
try
I'm
to
gathering?
Control me with money. I mean, he paid for everything, right. Honestly.
But so. You needed extra money.
Yeah, I needed like my restless. Money. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not like I'm still to this day, like, I'm not like somebody who can just sit on their ass. Like, same. I'm not somebody who could just let myself get taken care of. Like, I have to have my own thing going on. I have to.
Your trauma won't allow it.
Yeah, I will not. I will never go broke. Like, mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck. Like, oh, I literally
I just said
will
I would
not
suck dicks for $10 a piece if I had to, if I was homeless you. On the way here.
I will go back to the strip club if I ever had to. Like, I know how to make money. Like, I know how to hustle. So, yeah. You know, God forbid I ever get to that point in my life ever again. But I will never allow myself to miss a meal. Like, yeah. It would never happen.
I'm the so. Same way. I have the same exact mindset.
Yeah.
So you don't go back to dancing. What do you do? Do you stay in this relationship?
Yeah. So I basically stayed in the relationship for 3 years. I was just getting cheated on back to back to back to mm-hmm. back. Like, it was just insane. I was just dealing with it. It was like my first. I really want to consider my first real love. Mm-hmm. And like, also, it was just different because I think that relationship like took a toll out of me, only because, you know, I was dealing with somebody who came from money, and like, I had just freshly come out the streets, like, you know. So part of me always felt like I wasn't good enough, and it was like always people around him telling him like, what are you doing dealing with this stripper? Like, you know, what do you see in this girl? She just want to get pregnant and take your money and do all this. So mm-hmm. I had like very low self-esteem, I feel like, in that relationship, just because I always felt like I wasn't good enough. So it took me a long time to leave it. And then when I finally did leave, I ended up going on reality TV. So that was like my next stepping stone.
When did you join White Girl Mob?
I did White Girl Mob when I was, it was still during the period that I was a stripper, mm-hmm. but they had me stop. So I had.
White Girl Mob had you stop dancing?
Yes. So.
Because it would be bad for their image or something?
No, because. So at the time when I was stripping, I was still rapping. Mm-hmm. Like, I was still doing music. And, White Girl Mob was taking off in the Bay. I wasn't really close with them. They were older girls than me. So, like, I remember seeing them out and about in the Bay Area.
Right.
And they were always, like, cool. You know, they were, like, the cool girls, whatever. Right. We were, like, the little girls. Mm-hmm. And
they had, like, one big song, right?
Yeah, the Gucci Gucci song. Mm-hmm. And
I still love that shit.
Yeah. And I wasn't even on the song, like, right. You know. So I didn't even get, like, the super fun parts of it. But they were like doing their thing while I was a stripper. I was rapping still as a stripper. And then they had lost little Debbie in the group. Debbie left the group, and they were like, you know, we need somebody. So they were like, oh, well, what about her? At the time, my rap name was Princess. So they were like, what about Princess? And Drop Dead. Princess Drop Dead. So they were like, what about her? So they're like, all right, cool. So I had to quit dancing. And then, you know, I like went to LA for a little bit with them, did some shows with them, was part of it. It was cool. We never did a song together. I would just perform their songs with them. I was just like a replacement. Mm. And it just didn't end up working out. Like, you know, they kind of just started to fall off. And it was just, they started facing backlash because they used to say the N-word. And I would just be like, well, I'm sitting this out because I'm half black. So I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want. And y'all shouldn't be saying it anyway. So it was just like. It was just like one of those. I was young. Yeah. I didn't have shit. Like, I was sleeping on their couch and shit, like sleeping right. on their floor. Like, I didn't have no money. And I knew it was over when I was like, well, what am I supposed to do for money? Keep in mind, never saw a dollar for a show. Right. I would travel with them and do these shows and wouldn't get paid for shit. I didn't even know about that. I was so green. Like, it was just
you were
like,
just trying to make it.
I was just trying to be a part of something, you mm-hmm. know? So I was like, what am I going to do for money? Like, I'm not seeing no money. It's almost like
they sold you a dream.
Yeah, kind of. 100%. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, you're going to come be a part of Wagger Mob. We're famous. Like, mm-hmm. I got a $1 million contract and I'm over here sleeping on the floor, not a dollar to my name. Like, mm-hmm. how am I about to make some money? And they're like, well, go get a job at Starbucks or something. I'm like, bitch, Starbucks? I'm not no Starbucks, bitch. Like, I'm a star. So why are we going to work this out? So right. I just had to end up figuring out on my own and just mm-hmm. quit fuck with them.
So you got out of the relationship that you were in where you were getting cheated on all the time. Yeah. And were you fresh out of that relationship when you did Bad Girls Club?
Yeah. So he had basically like started dating this girl while me and him was like still together.
Jeez.
Yeah, of course. But he started dating this girl while we were still together, found out about it, seen the girl in person one time. She lied about it, but obviously it was like true. And then I want to say the year before I really found out, I had a best friend at the time, and she had asked me, she was like, they're doing this casting for Bad Girls Club. It's a sister season. Let's lie and say we're sisters to get on this show. So I went along with my friend to this casting. This casting is like thousands of girls, like
right.
crazy ass shit. So, you know, we go to the casting, we don't get far for real. So it's just like, whatever. And then a year later, as I'm getting cheated on, you know, ready to exit this relationship, I get a call and they're like, hey, we remember you from last year. Would you be interested in recasting for Bad Girls Club? And I was like, in my mind, I'm just like, this is crazy, because out of thousands of girls, they're like, we remember you after all this time. This bitch was fucking nuts. We need this girl. So, you know, I redid the casting or whatever. I think I went up to the Bay Area, did casting. They have like hundreds and hundreds of girls in there, and they like select you out, and then you get eliminated, and then it gets to this big ass table of like, I don't even fucking know, like 20 girls, 50 girls, I don't know. Everybody got to just talk, you know. It's just like a bunch of little rowdy raggedy bitches, you know. And then they call you back, they let you know if you made it to the next casting.
Not the rowdy raggedy.
Oh yeah, you know, like those castings are like, especially for that show. Yeah, it's like everybody wants to show they're big and bad and can fight and all this shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm not even worried about it, because like I feel like I know people are like drawn to me attention wise. So they called me back, did the green screen, and then the producers called me in the room and they were like, yeah, like, why do you think we should have you on the show? And I was like, you need me on the show to make the show. So like, you know, like, make it happen. So they're like, okay, yeah, we're gonna have everyone.
In a way, you pretty much manifest, because you already believe it's yours.
Oh yeah, 100%. And it's just so crazy. Like, I when I was growing up, like, people used to always be like, she needs to be on Bad Girls Club, and she needs to. And I never really, like, I didn't really care to do the show, but I always knew I was gonna do something.
Like, as a stepping stone for, yeah, you, 100%. To get into the limelight.
100%. I always knew that I was going to do something. I just didn't know how I was going to get there, or like, you know, what route I was going to take.
What was that experience like for you?
Bad Girls Club? Mm-hmm. It was bad. It was like prison. I've talked about it before publicly. It was like prison. It was terrible living with a bunch of bitches who just want to fight you for no reason. And at the time, I was like,
it's kind of like how you were living at home with your mom. Yeah. Like, you had to walk on eggshells.
Oh my gosh. Just so irritating. Like, and then at the time, like, before I had went on the show, like I said, I had been in a relationship where I was just constantly getting cheated on. I had started taking Xanax, and I was taking Xanax because I didn't want to feel anything. Like, I felt like I was heartbroken every day. Like, you know, my friend had like put me on it, kind of. I used to take it when I used to dance, because I used to not want to remember shit. I would take Xanax and I would drink on the Xanax so that I would just wake up with hella money and be like, cool, good night, like, whatever. And I just wouldn't want to like have to talk to nobody or have these long ass boring ass conversations, like, whatever. So when
that
I
was my specialty too.
Yeah,
I love Xanax.
That was like what vodka. I had. I was like, this is perfect. I don't have to care about talking to nobody. I don't give a fuck about shit. Like, I just,
it's almost like your alter ego comes out.
Oh yeah, 100%. And then like, if I wouldn't do it, I would feel too much like myself, and I would kind of get like, in a way, ashamed. Like, I used to put on a different voice. Because if I was acting like myself, it's like, I know I'm an intelligent, smart, like, I'm funny, I'm smart, like, I'm all of these great things, and I gotta dumb myself for this weird ass motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Like, now I don't even wanna take your money, bitch, cause, like, you know? Yeah. So when I went on the show, I was coming off of Xanax because I didn't have a prescription, like, legally. So it wasn't like I could bring my Xanax in Bad Girls Club, like, you know. So I was having like severe anxiety when I was on the show. And a lot of people don't know that, but I was having really bad anxiety. It was just
panic attacks.
Yeah, definitely really bad panic attacks. You know, at the time, like, the guy that I had broken up with, who I wasn't with, was like going public with a new girl while I'm away for like 2 months. So it was just like mentally definitely fucking with me. And then just having to, you know, deal with girls who want to break your nose, like, it's not
when,
fun.
When you talk about the guy who had a lot of money, was it was that Bow Wow?
No.
Okay.
I never dated that man.
Oh, I thought you did. Well, the internet is wrong.
No. I never dated Bow Wow. I went to some premiere thing with him one time. Gotcha. I never dated him, though. Yeah. He just asked me randomly to go.
Was he in the limelight, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or is it Puff Daddy's mm-hmm. son? Okay, mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was whatever. It was just a lot. We were young. We're still friends to this day. So it's like, I don't really hold any grudge for like anything that I went through when I was, you know, with him or anything like that, mm-hmm. because, you know, it's life. We're young. We're going through our own set of growing pains. I came from a lot of trauma. Mm-hmm. Before I had got with him, I was literally in a physically abusive relationship with somebody. So like, I had my shit from that I had to deal with. Like, it was just a lot.
How old were you when you went through the domestic violence relationship?
I was 18 to 19. So yeah, 18 to 19. And then that's when I met I literally fled from my abusive relationship. And I had like took hella money and bought a car, and like literally took hella money, went and bought a car, got a U-Haul. My boyfriend at the time went out of town, packed up my shit, and had a girl drive the U-Haul. And we drove to LA, had an apartment already set up that I had never even seen before. I was just like, I just got to get the fuck out of here. Had like sent them the money through PayPal or some shit. Had roaches and hella shit. It was disgusting. And a week later, I met my ex-boyfriend. So yeah, I met him and it was like my whole life changed. Like we fell in love instantly.
Aww.
And it was like, wow, like this is crazy as fuck.
You guys think you'll ever circle back?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Is that on you or on him?
It's on me.
Gotcha.
It's definitely on me. Like, we're still friends. Like, he's amazing. Like, as a friend, that's pretty much it. Yeah. I don't have any, like, I just don't look at him in that type of way anymore.
So after the Bad Girls Club, because you're withdrawing off Xanax and stuff mm-hmm. like that, it was a horrific experience for you.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go? Take me on that journey. What does Winter do after that? Where did Winter Blanco come from? Where did that name come from?
Winter Blanco started when I was a stripper. And it started because my favorite book was The Coldest Winter Ever.
Mm.
And I was just like, Winter, got Winter from that. Because I felt like I really related to her. Like, she had to go through hella shit and mm-hmm. like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then Blanco came from Griselda Blanco, mm-hmm. which is funny because now the Netflix show is coming mm-hmm. out and like people who didn't know about her are like learning about her. And I'm like, that's why I made my name
her
Blanco.
Son and wife are coming on the podcast.
Really? Mm-hmm. That was why I made my name Blanco, is because I was just like, she's just a badass mm-hmm. like, bitch. Like, yeah. You know, so I always thought she was hella cool. So I just put Blanco on it. People really think that's my last name. I'm like, no. It's not.
When I was researching, I was like, what a fucking great name. And then I realized that it was a stage name.
Yeah,
but what a great stage name,
right? Thank you.
Take me on the journey after Bad Girls Club. What does Winter do?
You know, I was trying to do music again. I did an album after that, and it was hard though after the show, like directly after the show, because I got a lot of backlash on the show. I did some shit that I wasn't really proud of. Like, producers kind of pushed us into it, was like picking on another girl or whatever. And
I don't think people, like fans of reality, realize that reality TV is not fucking reality.
Right. Oh my goodness.
Like,
I
it's
know.
So there's so much that goes yeah. on behind the scenes of these yeah. shows.
I mean, so I basically got like labeled a bully because I did some stupid shit, drunk as hell. They would like feed us alcohol and Hot Pockets
and no
like,
food. Yeah.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. yeah. that's literally like what we would survive on. And then they would be like, yeah, get that bitch out the house. Or she was talking shit about you. Like, you know, like stuff like that.
Start shit.
So I did something I wasn't proud of. You know, I knew it wasn't my character. Like, I immediately felt regret. I called my mom. I was crying on the phone. Where I was like, this is not me. Like, you know, I feel like that's when me and my mom's relationship kind of started mending, was because I had to, like, I needed my mom. Like, mm-hmm. I had to, like, have her in my life. And it was just crazy. Like, the world hated me at first. And I was like,
was that your first bout with online shit?
No, because I had it with White Girl Mob.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and I always...
God, was the internet around back then?
Yes, it really? Was. Yes, it was like Twitter and Facebook and stuff like
that. I fucking hate Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Twitter is
Twitter
crazy.
Is where the crazies are.
Twitter is fucking nuts. Like, yeah. I get dragged on Twitter all the damn time.
Twitter and TikTok, they're pretty fucking crazy.
Oh my God, yes. TikTok stays dragging me. I don't really give a fuck, though, because like they're just losers to
me. We'll get into that in a little bit, but I get dragged on all the fucking time. Really? I don't even fucking do anything. I'm the most unproblematic person you've ever met.
Right. No, that's how I feel, honestly. Literally. Like, I have my opinions, but like, I don't be picking on nobody for real, so whatever.
Literally, I get in trouble if I fucking laugh at something somebody says on my podcast. Yeah. It's like, oh, she's a mean girl. Right. You're like, shut the fuck up, dude.
They just like to nitpick.
It's for sure. It's so annoying. Moving on from the Bad Girls Club, what does Winter do besides writing an album? When did you start writing your books? Was that in 2021? When was Bad Girls Club?
Bad Girls Club was in, I was 23. So that was 7 years ago. Whatever, seven
years
ago.
That was 2016.
Yeah, 2016.
Okay. So you didn't write your books until 2021.
2020. I wrote 2020. One in 2020 and one in 2021.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so...
what do you do in that gap in between 16 to 20? What's Winter doing?
I was just doing a bunch of shit. I don't know.
She's like, I'm just living my life, bitch.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I did an album. I was having to deal with the online hate for the first time, for real. You know, people started really knowing who I was. And I just felt like if I show people who I am, they'll like me. Because, like, I know, like, I'm the type of person kind of you really hate or you really, really love. Mm. So I was just like, I just got to, like, show the internet who I am and, like, I just kept growing from that. Like, I kind of came to a point where I was like, I just want to get away from Bad Girls Club. Like, I felt like it painted me in a picture like that isn't me.
Right.
And I really want to just get away from it. So, you know, I was getting like reality TV offers and stuff like that. And I just was turning them down. I was traumatized as fuck.
Would you ever do another reality TV show?
I would.
If it was a right fit?
Yeah, I would do another reality show if it was the right fit. Mm. But, there's not many that I would do. So, I mean, IDK. I've been kind of in talks about doing another one, but we're just going to see what happens, you know?
Yeah. I think you're made for TV.
You do?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I want my own show, honestly.
You need it. I think you could carry it for sure. So let's talk about a kind of a sensitive subject because I did watch on your podcast last night where people are literally always questioning your ethnicity.
Yeah.
And I see that it really like hurt you in this podcast, and it broke my heart for you because it was like, it's kind of like you against the world. And I think... and I quote, you said, I don't feel like I belong to any one community. Nobody will, I don't want to quote you out of context, but you just pretty much said, like, I don't feel like I belong anywhere.
Yeah.
And if there's a little girl who's growing up with, you know, and dealing with the same things that you've had to deal with where people are not accepting her, what would be some advice that you would give or that you could give to a little girl watching?
I feel like that's hard to say because I feel like even I don't really know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I don't really know. Like I do feel that way. Like I still feel that way. I'll probably feel that way forever. Like, no, I don't know what it feels like to like have a community. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't, because I don't know what other people feel like. I don't know if I feel different. Like, right. I don't know if like white people are like, yes, I'm white and I'm proud. And then like, you know, black people are like, I'm black and I'm proud. Well, like, yeah, we know that. But like, you know, I don't.
Yeah.
Sorry, Shai's over here laughing. But
you're doing so great.
Thank you. But no, I don't know. I don't feel like I have a community. I feel like, you know, mixed race people, they're uncomfortable about speaking up about how they feel just because people do want you to like choose your sides. And it's like, especially for somebody like me who is white passing, like it feels like your voice just doesn't matter because you don't look black enough. And like, white people don't give a fuck. Like, white people don't give a fuck about what makes people got going on. Like, that's just really not their problem. Like, you know, white people don't have to deal with like colorism. So it's just not really even like their issue, I guess. So I don't know. I just don't really have anywhere to turn to, I guess.
Yeah. So you don't have any advice for a little girl going through it?
I mean, I guess just like you just have to be comfortable with who you are. Like, you can't be ashamed about anything. Like, I feel like a lot of mixed people do go through shame. Mm-hmm. Some people be ashamed that they're half white. People be ashamed that they got a white mama. And it's like, it's really not that damn deep. Like, it's okay. Your mom is white. It's fine. Like, we're going to be all right. Like, mixed people try to like... I guess segregate themselves in a way, like by parents, like, well, my mom is black, so I am different from you because, which I mean, I'm sure, but like, I really just feel like it depends on culture. Like, your mom could be like white, but like, cultured, I guess, mm-hmm. and then your dad could be black but act white. Like, it, that shit is fucking dumb. But
I feel like when Mariah Carey came on the scene, they did the same thing to her.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like, it was yeah. really bad. Like, she had to address it a lot, too.
I also feel like another thing that goes on that is kind of frustrating, like, especially, like, when I have to see it, like, there are, like, mixed people that are... when there are mixed people that are super successful, like, people want to claim them as their own, like, right. that's when it's like, we not gatekeeping. Like, for instance, Barack Obama, he's biracial. That's our first black president. Mm-hmm. Kamala Harris came out, she was like, I'm mixed race. Everybody was mad she was saying she was mixed race. Like, it's just like, it doesn't feel like there's like a space for biracial people to just be biracial. It's mm-hmm. like, you have to be one or the other, and mm-hmm. I think that's where, I guess, the issue just gets like annoying. Especially, right. like, if you are like me and you look white as hell, it's like, they want me to, like, pick and choose that I'm white. But I'm like, I'm never going to pick and choose that I'm white because I'm not.
Right.
I'm mixed. Like, I'm biracial.
But
like,
you it's shouldn't just that have to pick, you know, just yeah. one. You should be able to yeah. coexist in the middle somewhere.
Yeah. And I know the conversation is so tired. And, like, even I get tired of talking about it because people, like, have, you know, been on my ass about this for years. But
the TikToks are insane.
Yeah.
When I Googled your name God. On TikTok, I was like, this is what people really fucking spend yes. their time doing.
They will sit there and make paragraphs and books about their opinion. I'm like, there's no fucking opinion about a fact. Like, I don't know what the fuck we're even negotiating.
It like, got here. So bad online that people were doxing you and like,
yeah,
was that the whole situation?
Leaked my address, social security number. I'm like, it's cool. You can leak my fucking address because I got a gun. So I don't give
did you have people showing up to your house?
There. Okay. So after my address got leaked, there was this girl sitting outside of my house that was like, hi, Winter. But like, I don't know if like maybe she just was there or like she seen my address.
Right.
But I was like,
but nobody ever like just showed up and knocked on the door.
No. I mean, I had a stalker, but he wasn't like from the internet. Like, I knew him.
Oh, that's the worst kind.
Yeah.
That's when you know somebody and they start fucking stalking you.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, I don't give a fuck. Leak my damn address, bitch. I don't give a fuck. I've been wanting to use my gun. I really don't care.
give me an excuse. So moving on, you wrote your books in 2020, and then you also, that's around the same time that you met your friend Shai.
Yes, it is.
Can we bring Shai in?
Yes, let's bring her in.
Shai, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for sitting in the corner for a little bit.
Of course, I loved the whole conversation. Y'all really, it was really engaging.
Yeah,
you did so great. Thank you. I loved it.
I told her off camera, I was like, you're like her emotional support human.
Yeah.
How long have you guys
been? For the most part.
Yeah. How long have you guys been friends for? Where did you guys meet?
We met like 7 years ago, I think, probably. But we've been friends solid since like right when COVID happened, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a lot of time to like really sit with somebody.
Right.
Like, you have nothing else
every day.
You have nothing else to literally do. So I think that's the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Came from that.
Was it just like an instant friendship? Like a soulmate type thing.
I was like, this bitch is funny.
Yeah.
I like her.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we definitely, like, for the years that we knew each other, we didn't know that we were just so amazingly hilarious together, especially. So.
I think you had, like, a Taco Tuesday or something. And it was something random that Clark invited me. We lived together. We lived around the same. I mean, we lived in the same building.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
But one of my best friends invited me to her, something you were having at one of your apartments.
Mm.
And I damn near was the host of it at that point. She was sitting there on the couch and I was just like playing all the games I was doing. And she was like, no, stay. And I was like, I like it here.
Those are the best friendships that are just like so effortless. And it's just like, you literally meet and it's just a friendship from here on out.
Yes.
So how did you guys start your podcast, Behind the Likes?
If I had to think of a time I personally smelled my worst, it would have to be after one of Jay's concerts, an outside concert at that. My right armpit was ripe for the pickings, smelled like beef stroganoff. I kid you not, it was rancid. As a special offer, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code BUNNY, BUNNIE, at LumiDeodorant.com. And that's LumiDeodorant. lumint.com. I personally freaking love Lumi. I have every scent. My favorite one is the toasted coconut, though, because even when you sweat, it still smells so good and so yummy, and you feel like you're on a tropical island. But I promise you guys, any sort of smells you could possibly have, Lumi will cover it up. Once again, as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at LumiDeodorant.com.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So I was going to start one.
We always tell this story. I know, right?
So I was going to start one probably like a year or two. It was drag. 2 years prior to us starting one. Because I've always been like very open. I'm going personable. Like, you know, like people would always come up to me and be like, you need a podcast. You need to do this. You need to do that. And so I got approached by someone who was starting their own like streaming network. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna do this. So I filmed like a few episodes. He was full of shit. The streaming network was full of shit. The contract was full of shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just everything was downhill at that point. So I was just kind of off of it for a second. And Winter was like, I'm gonna do a podcast. And like, it was at this time, it was just like, I was like, perfect, go ahead, do a podcast. Like, I'm like, you have.
She did not want to do it with me.
I was about to get there. She has a following. She has, like, I'm like, it's perfect. You can do, you do your thing. But I just didn't want to do it. Like, I wanted something of my like own, my fresh, like my own like thing aside from it. I'm always like showing up in the beaches for everybody else, which is perfect. Mm-hmm. I have no problem doing that. But I'm like, I just need something of my own.
Right.
But now looking back, I would have jumped on me and Winter doing this the moment it fucking, like, moment it was brought to me, because I could not imagine doing a podcast by myself. I hated doing it by myself, for one. Mm-hmm. And then two, just, like, we bounce off of each other so well. Mm-hmm. It's insane. It really is insane. It's not even, like, I know it's work. We're getting paid. Like, you know, you getting mm-hmm. paid to be a creator now, I guess. But it's not even, like, work. It's just so, I couldn't have it no other way.
It's like just hanging out with your best friend and getting paid.
Yeah, and getting paid to do it, literally.
Yeah. I watched a couple of you guys' episodes, and I feel like you're the calm to her storm.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like she's a nut job. Everybody says that, though, but I don't
think
so.
Your delivery is just a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So her delivery is aggressive. And
you're like an Aquarius like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we don't really care about that much, so I can speak about something, and I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. you can do what you want to do, and she's mm-hmm. very, like,
passionate
about mm-hmm. her opinions, which I respect, and you right. know I'm trying mm-hmm. I'm kind of getting more like that, but I'm like, look, you pull yeah. my arm, I might agree with you, you know, you yeah. tell me, I'm like, whatever, fuck it. She's like, no, I don't agree with that, and I'm like, here yeah. we are.
I mean, yeah, I think we just balance each other really, really well. And yeah. we just understand each other. Like, I think even me growing up my whole life, I never really felt like I had people who understood me, like, core through and through. But, like, that's one thing I could definitely say about our friendship. Like, I feel like we genuinely do understand each other. Mm. Like, you know?
Like, before we got here, she called me and she had a little bit of attitude. And I was like, all right, bye. I don't got time for this. I'll see you later.
Yeah. But that's yeah. real friends. That's how yeah. Mimi and I are. Like, if we're having a day or, like, I'm being an asshole, I'll circle back around later on that night and be like, hey man, I'm sorry. Sorry, I was being a douchebag. So, Shai, where are you from? What's a little bit of your backstory?
I'm from Louisiana, born and raised, Baton Rouge. I moved out here at 22. I'm 19.
By yourself?
But
we're both 19.
I don't know how I age backwards.
Listen, when you get as old as me, you start counting backwards too.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think I'm stopping at 29. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going anywhere else. Like, I'm going to be 29 until I'm 50.
You say that until you hit 44, which is what I am.
You're 44?
I love you guys.
You're lying.
I love you. You know what? Can we just play that on a loop?
I keep the glasses. I was like, okay, she got her little glasses on her.
I am blind as a motherfucker, dude. So blind. But yeah.
44 is crazy. crazy.
No,
I mean, not crazy. No.
Wait, damn, you gonna call her old?
My oldest sister. No, you're my good. My oldest sister is 49, so you're I feel like that's you, like my sister.
I thought you were like maybe 35. Yeah. 38. Max.
Love you guys. But no, I was gonna say, when you get to 44, you kind of like want to be around 36. Like, that's your, you know, so once you get there, you'll be like, maybe 36.
Damn, girl, you look 36.
I appreciate 30.
You can really do it.
Love you so
much. We could still be all the drugs high.
I did.
We're going to be so
fine. All the drugs I did when, I was younger.
No, I'm the crazy one.
No, you guys are going to age beautifully.
Thank you. For as sure. long as Botox is still in style.
Look,
for Botox sure. Botox is but, safer. No, so I'm, I have four older sisters. So I came out here by myself. I have family like an hour away.
What made you want to just leave Louisiana to come to L.A.?
So pretty.
Both L.A.s. Leave L.A. to come to L.A.
I'm like, why am I here? No, I'm just kidding. I came to visit my family at 18, and I was enamored. I was like, oh, I'm coming back. I don't care what I wanted to do. And, like, I was really thinking about this the other day. I never really had, like, a passion for fashion. Like, I'm like, I want to be a model. Like, you know, like, I never cared that much for it. But I'm like, of course. I was thinking, I need to do something hard in my life because everything has been so easy. I came out here. I got an agency. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was easy for me. And I'm like, I should go to school. I should do something. But I was going to school in Louisiana. I was like, I don't want to do this. And I was just like, I go to L.A.
It's crazy you don't have an accent.
Oh, I worked hard for that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I did because, I mean, no matter how intelligent.
Because Louisiana accents are so.
Yeah.
Yeah, strong.
Yeah. No matter how, like, intelligent you can be or come across, they don't get past that right. accent.
That's true.
So it's just.
So real.
It's, you know, you just mm-hmm. have to learn how to, like, you know.
I feel like I've even had to do that, like, with mm-hmm. the Bay Area, like, having my accent. When I first moved out here, people thought I was so ghetto and so ratchet. And, like, over the years, I just had to start talking a little bit more like this. And, like, sometimes when I get drunk, it comes out mm-hmm. really heavily.
Yeah.
And then people are like, you sound country as hell when you drink.
Yeah, the Bay sounds hella country to me.
I know. People say
my
that all
husband
the time.
Is one of the smartest humans you'll ever meet. And when he opens his mouth, he talks like this. And it's like.
Now, don't get me wrong. When I'm with my family, it's completely different. Yeah. And it's like, it will come out. But, like, out here, it's just, you know, it's not that Valley Girl thing. But it's just, it's more just like, you know, you learn to adapt, you know.
Absolutely.
I was telling her the other day, I was like, when I first came out here, I was wearing like floral dresses going to the clubs, and I'm like, you have to really learn how
not
to
the
adjust.
Floral
yeah, like, you know, you have to learn how to adjust when you come to LA. So mm-hmm. it's like I adjusted.
And how old are you?
25.
You're 25.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm 30.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
My birthday is Wednesday. I'm about to be 32. Aww, I'm
happy birthday.
Okay, I'm getting a box. Thank you. When's your birthday?
January 22nd.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy late birthday.
Thank you. Now, don't cry. 32. Dude, I'm telling you right now, 32 to 39 is your time to shine.
Really?
Dude. I mean, even after, but I'm just saying, those are like your golden years. You're going to have so much fun.
It sounds serious.
It's not.
It sounds so serious.
It sounds
I had
like
so much damn fun.
Sounds like an adult.
No, we got to be, we'll be adults at 40.
You're only.
I'm classy this year.
You're she only says. As old as you feel. If you still, mm-hmm. like, I'm 44 and I still feel like I'm 34. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you're only as old as you feel, and how you feel inside is what you're going to project to everybody.
So you're married mm-hmm. to, is his name, okay, I don't want to, what is it?
Jelly.
Jelly? Mm-hmm. Is it Jelly? I recently seen him on something, wasn't he in court?
Yes, for the fentanyl thing.
And I mm-hmm. watched one of your podcasts with him, and I was like, the way that I was like, because I just wanted to know.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
So I'm like, the way that y'all speak to each other is so, like, just cute, and he's just so chill, and just, like, they're just sitting like, yeah, baby, no. I'm like, I like it. It's so cute.
Yeah, no, and he's a sweetie pie. Mm-hmm. He's my Sagittarius.
Oh, that's Sagittarius. Our connection. Mm-hmm. I say that all the time.
Really?
That's fire. Our love connection.
Sagittarius mm-hmm. have only ever broken my heart.
Aww. Yeah, she calls him Sagittarius.
What about your new love, Winter?
He's a Leo.
Oh, Taurus and Leo are soulmate signs.
Mm-hmm.
Taurus and Leo?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We are?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
See? Yeah.
I love that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Everybody's so interested in who you're dating too right now. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was one TikTok that didn't crack the damn code, y'all.
Really?
You don't admit it?
I mean, no. I'm not admitting shit.
I mean, there's so many TikToks. Somebody's going to have to really go through all mm-hmm. those fucking TikToks to figure out which one it is.
People are fucking delusional. But, I mean, yeah. I've been dating. I have a boyfriend now. He's really great.
Full-time, like, off the market. Winter
yes,
is...
Yes. Like, real boyfriend.
Boot
like,
up.
Yeah, it's not, like, just somebody I'm dating or dealing with, you know, a situationship. It's, like, a real boyfriend. It's, like, it's been cool. It's been a little bit hard because I feel like I've only really been in, like, very toxic relationships. And usually when things get hard or somebody pisses me off, I just dump them and find a new boyfriend. So I'm, like, not doing that now.
That's your trauma.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, my mom has always been, like, you need to be more patient with guys. Like, you
just... Is your mom? Huh? I'm the other one in the ear, like, hey, this is what we're not supposed to do right now. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm all for a free spirit. Let you do your thing. I'm like, you know, do whatever you want. Fuck him if you feel that way. But in the sense, I'd be like, that was a little toxic that you want to hang up and you won't expect him. I'm like, okay. But like, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, it's a thing. But it is true what they say when you, the first healthy relationship after a toxic one is the hardest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it hasn't really been hard because I just feel like he balances me out so well. But I feel like internally it has been hard just because it's just like, I don't know. I'm just not used to somebody who's like not a terrible person, I guess. Yeah. Like, I don't know how to deal with a good man. I only know how to deal with pieces of shit.
Yeah.
So it's just been different and new. And like, some days I'm just like, you about to be single. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't know who you playing with. You don't know. I'll be right out this door. Like, you know, and I'm like, I have to not do that.
And you need to learn how to not bleed on people who don't cut you.
Right.
That definitely was one of the major things I had to learn with Jay, because Jay was my first, like, really, well, let me not lie, the first 3 years of our relationship were fucked, but really? We had to learn to heal together. Mm-hmm. And once we got into that safe space, I was like, God, I'm so used to the chaos. Like, I just want to fucking start an argument just to fucking fuck shit up, you know? But you have to really learn to grow with somebody. And it's the most vulnerable thing that you're ever going to do.
Right.
But it's the most rewarding also.
How did y'all get to that space?
You know, so I talk about it very openly, but like, you know, I came out of a severely abusive relationship where I was almost killed a couple times, and just relationships before that were extremely toxic. He had came from nothing but toxicity too. So when you put two fucking wild hyenas in a cage, you guys are gonna bite each other for sure. And we got to a point where my husband had an affair behind my back for about a year. And
with a year,
and when it all came to light, you know, I've been in the adult industry for a really long time, so I've seen pastors cheat on their wives.
Oh yeah,
cheating to me is not sex. Cheating to me is emotional.
Yeah,
you know, he was doing both, so I felt completely violated.
Yeah,
and then when we got to that point, I was just like, okay, I have two roads. I can either leave right now and start over with somebody else and go through the same fucking bullshit, or I can give this man one more chance to prove to me that he's willing to change, but I need to also take responsibility for what the fuck I was doing in the relationship, which was pushing his buttons, being toxic with him. You know, I just needed to take accountability because it was both of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went to counseling and he has completely became the man that I needed. And I've become the woman that he's needed.
I love that.
And we had to heal together. And I always tell everybody this. I constantly say it. The biggest flex as a couple is how you grow together.
Yeah. Right.
It's not what you have materialistic wise. It's not status in the fucking social media ring. It's literally what you guys can heal together as far as childhood traumas and break generational curses together.
Right.
Shai, are you with somebody?
Yes, I am.
Yeah? How long?
So we've...
She was like a deer caught in headlights. I was like, let me throw it back at you, Shai.
I'm like, wait, hold on. This isn't our podcast. I was going to be like, so tell me more.
You're fine.
It's so easy to get back to that in a sense because it is so interesting to hear other people's like relationships and their dynamic and how they move forward.
It's work. It's work. A relationship is work. You're never going to find a fucking easy love.
Yeah.
And if it's an easy love, I don't want it. Yeah. Like, so I want to work for it.
His infidelity kind of helped heal your relationship in a sense?
What happened was it tore the castle down to build a mansion, you know? So like we literally had to tear shit down to rebuild because who we were as humans before we decided to heal together. I was a piece of shit. He was a piece of shit. Yeah. We did not have good intentions for anybody in our lives. Only life I knew was hustling. So everything was a hustle to me. And same thing with my husband. And we had to reevaluate who we were and who we wanted to be. And we also got full custody of his daughter. So we had to change for her too.
But yeah, that's cool. I am in a relationship. I've been with him for like 3-4 years. It's been a lot.
That's a long relationship.
It's a long relationship. Yeah, I was in a 6-year relationship before that, and I was single for 4 years, so I felt like I was ready. And it's been up and down, but it's been good for the most part.
When you say up and down, what do you mean? Like,
we both have been pretty toxic towards each other. And I, there, how can I say this without sounding fucking,
You guys both have such a hard time talking about yourselves.
Really?
Honestly, no. Like, vulnerably. I love talking about me, yeah, in a sense, but like in certain, like my relationship.
Your vulnerability.
She's closed off
hard
about her relationship.
My relationship is a little different because, I can be open with me. I had yeast infection the other day. No, I'm just kidding.
I hate when that happens.
I know, right? But no, I really didn't. But my relationship is a little different because I mean, people can't critique what they don't really know. So right. I don't really want that personal part of me to be judged, and because like they do, because I cried on one episode because we had broken up.
Aww.
And then like, and I, you, for me that's hard to even do, and I was just caught off guard.
Yeah,
because I didn't think our guest was going to ask questions about me in that moment, and I was just like, I don't want to talk about it.
Aww.
So it ended up being that situation, and before that I kind of got vulnerable and was like, I'm at this crossroad right now of like where I want more in this relationship, and I wasn't really being met in though, like me wanting more, like I'm 30, about to be 32 years old, like I want more stability, more
like you want to be married.
Yeah, I want marriage, I want, like, I just want a little bit more structure and stability, and because we are long distance, and it's just like all of those things were getting to me, and
which, as you're rightfully so,
yeah,
you're
exactly
allowed to feel
so it was
that
all
way
getting to me, and then some bullshit happened right around that time. I was expecting like a crossroads shift to happen, and I was just like, oh, this is my sign to be done. Done. Mm-hmm. And then when you think you're done, like you want to stand on business, and that business is quicksand. Mm-hmm. It's just like you're not standing on shit. So it's just
love
like we're back.
Is a four-letter word.
Yeah. So it's from that point now we're working on. That's why I was asking you, because I love hearing people's dynamic when something happens and how you fix it from there. How do you move forward? I love, you know, I just want to, I think we're both focused now on the positivity of it. Mm-hmm. So like we had to like really like hit rock bottom. I've done some shit that I'm not proud of. He's done some things that he's not proud of. Done some things I could probably go to jail for, you know? So it's like, I had to figure out a way to like, okay, why is this happening? Is it just him that my reactions are this way? Am I the only person? Because at a point I felt like I was always at fault for things. And I'm like, am I being manipulated? Like, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
So, like, we just had to shift the whole dynamic, and now we're just working together instead of against each other. And I feel like that's just been the best thing. I'm like,
that's amazing. That is key, to work together and not against each other.
I
also believe that everybody deserves a second chance. They don't deserve three or four, though.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing I did with my husband was a second chance. So
And mine was more so in a sense of, like, all right, well, I can see, like, I see this, but it's just, like, it was the things that... It sounds crazy to say it wasn't that was the kill for me. It was the things prior to that.
Right.
That I really was like, oh, you got me a little fucked up. You've been doing all these things, and you have me feeling crazy, but you really are the psychopath.
It's
right
the,
here.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
The psychological
part of it. Yes,
it was
a psychological thing that really kind of like fucked with me for the
part. That's when my husband did his affair. That is what I was more pissed off about. I was like, I have sat here and said, I know this is going on. Have concrete pretty much proof, and you literally gaslit the fuck out of me and made me feel like I was crazy.
Being gaslit and just feeling like you have a, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that if you have a finger pointed at you, if somebody's pointing a finger at you, three are pointed back at them. It's just like you
absolutely
are doing all of these things because you got some shit that you ain't got going on, and it could be anything, like not even just cheating. It could be a multitude of just different things. And so it's just like, it for me, it was everything leading up to it, and it's just like, I should not be dealing with this type of shit. And so whatever, one thing led to another, and now we're at like a place where I was just saying the other day, I'm like, oh, we've been pretty solid since, you know, a lot of things have happened. We've talked about it a lot. So we're not where I want us to be, but we're definitely working together. And I actually said today, while I was on the car right here, I was just like, we're in such a good place, right? And he was like, yeah, we really are. I thought that earlier today. And I was like, okay, let's see how long it lasts. And that's the fucked up thing right now that I'm thinking in my head. Let's see how long this lasts. But he was like, we really are. I thought that today.
That's how it be. When you like be beefed out, you'd be like, can we just have one good day?
Yeah, and that's
toxic
too.
That's so annoying.
I
hate that.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I do not want to get back to that in any relationship.
Yeah, and I'm just like, and that's why I'm like, I'm telling you, I'm like, when I'm listening to Winter and we talk about, you know, like as girls do, you talk about these things and you just be like, you enjoy this and you thrive off of where this is at now, because I'm not saying that I want that it could go that in your way in your relationship, but that dynamic shifts so quickly and you'd be like, damn, I wish I had that boring or that peaceful or that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to have like I have a pretty peaceful relationship, I'm not going to lie. So
are you in love, Winter?
I feel like I love him, but we don't say I love you yet.
Why?
Yeah, we don't. Because I don't tell men I love them first.
Gotcha.
They have to be in love with me before I even like them for real. So I'm just kidding.
You gotta be obsessed.
If he were to say, Winter, I love you, would you say
that? Yeah, I would say I love him too. Definitely.
She said it on the phone while he was on the phone.
No.
She was like, love you.
I did not do that. You're literally telling a lie.
No, that is the dead honest truth. Remember that day we interviewed Jaden Alexis?
Bitch, he hung up the phone and I was like, I love him. And then I was calling him and I said, I love him.
And he was like, what?
He answered the phone. I said, nothing. No.
I was like, say it.
I think that's one of the things I love about you guys' podcast is you guys will straight up argue with each other on the podcast. Like, you guys will straight up have a day.
We have edited arguments.
Why? Because I think they're fucking hilarious.
No, she don't want people to see us argue.
You've cut out arguments too.
True.
Yeah, exactly. She's trying to act like it's just me.
Listen, I just want to tell you guys, my team is both Tauruses.
Really?
So it's an Aquarius and Taurus, and we beef too.
Really?
Yeah.
She's so hard, strong, and it don't be beef. It really be like, it's not.
They're emotional.
Yes, and it'd be like, okay. I literally said, okay, we can relax it out real quick.
Look, they're all getting on the hot seat now.
Yeah, they're like.
The whole energy in the room's changing right now.
Yeah.
But I be telling Winter, I'm like, the dynamic of our podcast is our friendship.
Yeah.
So
which
it's
is
like,
what I love about you guys is having your little tips on you know, the show is that
it's some real shit.
Yeah. We do have real shit, like real little tiffs or whatever. We don't really argue much though. We argue about pretty much the same thing every time. So it's like,
you guys are like sisters. It's like a sister.
Don't fucking start with me, bro. Cause I already know the way that you're looking at me, you're about to start. But no, we do pretty much only argue about one thing, and like, it's so fucking dumb. And
what's the one thing you guys argue about?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, I'm calling that card. No,
yeah, she said, don't bring it up now.
No, it's just the only thing we've ever really argued about. It's fucking dumb. It's really not that deep, but like, we just never got past it. And I don't know.
Have to get past it for your friendship. You guys need to figure out a way to communicate with each other without.
I think we just come to the point where we just agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like the best thing, because we are both. She says I'm hard headed, but she actually is extremely hard headed too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So we're both hard headed. Yes, she is.
I can be hard headed, but here's the thing.
They're both over here going.
As an Aquarius.
Because I'm the same way.
Yeah, I can get it. I get it.
I'm cold. I'm like a cold motherfucker.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, I literally can be, but my cold is like silent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm not about to argue with you. I'm not about to like, and I'm like.
Well, I'll get my words out first. I'll be like, motherfucker, fuck you. This is how I feel. And then that's it.
Yeah. So do you feel like I'm like that?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I will say what I have to say. But after that, it's just like, I am.
She's the type of person. She like, if there's something going on, I feel like she would rather like not deal with it in the moment.
But I need to really, because I'm like, half the time I'm like, is this really that deep?
Yeah.
And I need to like calibrate and be like, okay, I don't want to flash the fuck out.
Yeah.
So I have to really like.
And
go
I'd be
back
ready.
Into,
yeah. I'd be very
and she'd be ready
high
for it. She'd be like, yeah. She'd be like, what? And I'm like, because I know we have big personalities. So I'm like, sometimes it's necessary to take a step back. Now, my step back may be like a few months, and hers would be like.
A few months?
Yes.
No, it was that one time.
Lord. Oh,
we didn't talk for 6 months at one point.
Aww.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It was. Yeah. I called her crying on my birthday, and I was like, this has been gone long enough.
No. Yeah. Did you miss her?
Yeah, of course.
I missed her a lot. Yeah, definitely. It was very weird. I never had a friend that I actually was like, oh my goodness, like I feel like a part of me is like missing that we're not friends. These other bitches, bye bitch, I don't give a fuck.
I never felt that way. I knew we'd be back together, but I was just like,
not back together. Homo.
Everybody calls us lesbians. But I know me. I know that sometimes I'm like, I felt like this was too much, and I feel like, you know, I feel
sometimes
like,
people need space.
And I say, and I said,
maybe not
time.
6 months next time, Shy. But
well, we tried to work it out halfway through, and then we couldn't work it out, and then we tried again.
I was like, she got me fucked up.
Then we couldn't work it out. Yeah, and that's how I felt too.
Yeah. Why did you even bring that up?
Well,
why
I'm glad you guys.
I didn't bring up
you
shit.
You really did. You were like,
I said we only argue about one thing.
I was about to talk about the little tits, but you want to talk about the big ones?
Because I don't feel like we really have like little. Tiffs really like
so that. Let's focus on the podcast really quick. You guys already have you guys started this year, right? So you guys have pretty much came out swinging with your guests. I mean, to be a new podcast, you guys are getting quality guests on.
We are very thankful. I don't even think that we knew that we were gonna like be able to like do what we've actually been able to do so far. Like we've learned everything almost by ourselves. You've helped us a little bit. B. Simone has helped us a little bit, like just giving like, you know, advice and stuff, and like that's really helped us with like little things that has mattered for sure.
Did you guys start a Patreon yet? Oh cool. What shout it out so people can go in.
What is it? Behind the Likes podcast.
Oh, is it podcast or pod?
Or is it pod? We don't know. One of the two.
God damn it.
It's podcast. It's podcast.
Just go to Patreon and type in Behind the Likes podcast. But yeah, I think for me, I feel like you'll see. I mean, you know, having your own podcast, it's after a while we get like, oh, we didn't talk about these topics. We need some guests. You know what I'm saying? We need to like, you know, like have a little bit of diversity or like, you know, just something. So.
Yep. That's the one thing with podcasts is you have to keep the momentum snowballing.
Yeah.
Like it's just got to be a constant, it's like a constant hamster wheel. And people don't realize it's a lot of fucking work. People are like, oh, they have a podcast. And it's like, yeah, motherfucker, let me see you have one that has longevity.
Yeah.
I've been doing mine for 5 years.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's, 5 years.
But it's so rewarding. And you guys. To have the momentum and to be able to have like outlets like TikTok and that's shit that I didn't have starting out. And you guys can literally capitalize off of it. And plus, you know, because Winter is so in the spotlight and you're starting to be in the spotlight too, it's like, you know, fucking you guys can totally capitalize off of that.
Yeah. And she does so much, which I'm so appreciative of, because it's like you never know what you get into. Because I'm not gonna lie, in the beginning I was like, all right, I have to like help out as much as I can because I'm not bringing that following.
And but you're
I know, I know. I have like, but it's
but
just,
bringing, I think even you bringing yourself to the table is the best thing you could have possibly done, because if it was with anybody, I would have not been able to do this shit with anybody else.
Yeah,
100%.
Balance off of each other so well. Like the workload is just so equal.
I was reading the comments. People love you too, Shy.
So don't
discredit. She said, bitch, I know.
But like, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, in the beginning, you do have these like doubts and these questions, and you do question yourself in a sense when you are coming onto a platform that somebody has built on their own, like from the ground up. It is like you do feel like, what can I do to add value? And you know, sometimes yourself is enough, but it is also bringing that workload, being a good partner, being a good friend, being understanding like what we need from each other. I feel like has made it thrive to where it is going right now.
And we definitely pick up, like, especially with the workload, like we're not like nitpickers. Like we're not like, well, I did this, so you need to do this. And it's just like whatever needs to get done, we're gonna get it done. Okay, I realize I need to pick this up. You've been doing a little bit, you know, a little bit more for the last few days. Let me do this and handle this. So like we balance each other pretty well with that.
For and for being such a new podcast, you guys are, you know, you're going to figure it out. Each year, each season, it's going to just get better and it'll just keep getting bigger. Yeah. And like I said, it's just going to keep fucking snowballing.
Thank you.
What do you guys want to do next besides the podcast? You're such a big personality, Winter. I feel like you need to have your hands in a bunch of shit.
So we are actually about to, we're about to be shooting a pilot for hopefully our own show.
Yay.
So fingers crossed, you know, we are going to try to pitch it to a couple networks that we have connections to. And, I don't know. I just think it's going to be great. We, you know, I think it's going to be good. We're going.
What's going to be the concept of it?
So we're.
So kind of basically like a spinoff, not a spinoff, but like something
similar
along the lines of similar to The Simple Life.
Okay.
Paris. So something like that. And then like even like a Cardi Tries, like what she would do on Facebook. it's just like something similar to that, because anywhere we go, it's like people want more of us. They want the Patreon. They want footage of us every day. And it's kind of hard doing it on your own. Yeah. It's just like sometimes we want these intimate moments to ourselves, but sometimes people want to like for you to capture every single thing. And it'd be perfect if a camera was with us and while we do like fun activities and things like that. So I think that's just like a catapult to something that could be really great, because they love when people subscribe to our Patreon, they love it. And they're like, we need more of this. Like we've done tennis, and we've like we did tennis lessons, and
we do a bunch of random shit all the time on there, getting drunk as hell and just being
and people even love just watching you eat, just doing Q&A's.
I do my I produce my family's reality show, which is Meet the D-Fords, and then I also do my Bunny XO show with my production company, and I make more money off my Patreon than any network,
you were telling me that,
than any fucking network would ever give you guys. So you guys could even start it yourselves and then sell it to a network, and then maybe be in like kind of like a bidding war and being like, I want this much because I'm making this much, you know.
So how did you started your own production company? Is that within this realm of the 5 years that you've been doing the podcast too? Because it is, we said the same thing. It's like you see all of these things that you need, and it's just like, instead of depending on other people, you want to figure out everything
your
to do
own
on
shit.
Your own.
Own your own.
That's
shit.
What we've been. We've definitely been like doing that a lot. Like we get like deal offers for random shit all the time, and we're like, we could do this on our own.
Yeah,
like, we don't need
them
to.
That's
to
that
do
Tori
this.
Shit in her. She'd be like, I'm the type of like, I can do a little help. She'd be like, we can do it all on our own. I'm like, no, help me.
But the thing is if you build the foundation, they will come. Yeah, you know. And it's like you get to where you're in a position of like, I'm making X amount of dollars on our Patreon. We have a demand. I have 70. What do we have? 70,000 on Patreon. 72,000 on Patreon. We have two tiers, right?
Oh, that shit is fucking crazy, bro.
But I'm telling you, you guys don't need a network. The only reason you would need a network is for the exposure. If that, so it's like you're gonna wash one for the other. You're washing the money that you would get for the exposure, or you're gonna make your money and then limit your exposure.
They're annoying too, though. They'd be like,
and well, they want to control your narrative.
They want to take all our money. They want to do everything and take all our money and just leave us to give them a show for them to get paid. I'm like, bitch, hell no.
We almost signed with a production company this year, and I'm so glad we didn't, because they're under a lawsuit right now.
Really?
With it's wild.
Oh my goodness. Yeah,
the one that I was signing with for the podcast, they're in they're in all type of shit right now.
That's crazy.
It's insane. And I was gravitated towards them because they were like, we'll do everything, we'll do the marketing, we'll do all of these things, like all you have to do is come and bring yourself. Right. And I was like, perfect.
And
love it.
Now but we're like googling things how to do this on our own.
I'm telling you,
watching YouTube videos.
Text me if there's anything I can help you guys with. I'll always help you.
You know,
I swear
to
God.
Tumblers?
Tumblers?
Oh. Because we
look, we've been struggling.
We were trying to make our own damn cups. We were like, fuck a merch company. We'll make them ourselves.
We're going
to
do it.
All right, bro, so when it comes to merch, I do have a fucking merch company because I fucking hate dealing with merch.
Well, we have like clothing now, but at first we were doing these cups and I just posted a video the other day of us trying to figure, and she was like, please God help me, please, like stress the fuck out.
I have anger issues. Literally, I threw my own phone, which you should never do. Throw some other shit. But like, I threw my own phone when I was angry. I was like, so I was 2 seconds from throwing the printer because it wasn't working. So I was like, okay, I need to
that you guys need help with.
Yeah, okay? We're like, all right,
we can't reach out for help for that. You guys don't want to be fucking doing tumblers on your own. Definitely get a company to do that, because merch is just a fucking headache. Yeah. It's merch is like, how do I describe it? It's like a I don't want to say it's a luxury, but it's like it's a necessity within a business to have it, but you need somebody to run it for you, because if not, you're going to fucking lose your mind trying to deal with it. Yeah.
Well, we're literally actually going through something now where these people basically tried to play with our money for these merch shirts and like really damn near try to scam us. So now they're trying to like take their money, but it's like $10,000, and like they're trying to play us. We don't have no merch from them. Now we have all our, she's wearing one of our merch shirts, but we have like a whole new company, whole new shirts, like all this stuff, whatever. but they're trying to play with us, and we're like, oh my god, this shit is fucking crazy. Like, people really
need
just want to get over.
Real merch company. What is our merch company name?
We got a good one now through our friend Heather Sanders, who has Sorella. She has like a store that's been going on for years, and she just hooked us up with it, and we're like, oh my god,
good.
Should have went to her in the first damn place.
Right? We should have. I was wondering why we got an outside source when like LA's like the merch.
And you know what's crazy?
Literally, garment district right down the street.
Right, freaking fashion district. I literally was like, oh, I'm gonna help this small company out. Like, let me give them a payday real quick. Bitch, they tried to scam the fuck out of us.
Yeah, they were like payday for themselves.
Bought the Tumblr stuff though, so I'm gonna have to figure that out. Like,
we have the machine and everything. Literally,
you guys go follow Shy's TikTok. She needs all the Tumblr help she can get. All right,
literally.
Do you guys really think Drake has had a BBL?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
Really?
Definitely.
Them abs came out of nowhere. I didn't see them posted.
I've never seen him with a shirt off. I've never looked though either. So.
Yeah, he posted something with his shirt off. I feel like it was like right off the table.
So you think he's had ab sketching?
I think so. I would get ab sketching. I'm not judging him at all. I would do it too.
Yeah. Well, I've had it done.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. I know a lot of girls who've had it. My doctor does ab sketching hella good, but I didn't get ab sketching.
Yeah, I love it. I'll show you guys my stomach whenever I stand up.
Oh my God, I remember this. I knew this one girl who went and got ab sketching in freaking Mexico, and she came back looking like Superman. That shit was terrible.
That's a bit much. Yeah, it was bad. I feel bad when the girls.
Like a six pack is too much. A four pack is cool.
Yeah.
Or just like a little choo.
Yeah, just that's what I did. I just did a little chiseling, and that's it. Yeah,
yeah, that's cute. Like a little.
I did this in 2015 though, before everybody and their mom was doing it. Really? So I didn't even know what the fuck my doctor was doing. He's like, "Yeah, I'm just gonna do it. Yeah, I'm just like, just make me look good, please."
Right.
Well, thank you guys for coming on the podcast. Thank you. I'm so happy you guys came, and I hope you guys come back and visit me every year and give me updates and all 100%. That jazz. Yeah. Shout out where everybody can find you. Your socials.
My Instagram is Winter, WIINTRR, and our podcast is Behind the Likes Podcast on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. No, it's Behind the Likes Pod on Instagram.
See, this is why we get so confused. Because some shit's pod, some shit's
just
pod.
Google Behind the Likes.
Yeah. Behind the Likes Pod on Instagram, TikTok, Behind the Likes Pod, all that, YouTube. My Instagram is chy.f, so yeah, you can follow me on there.
Follow us.
And your Patreon. We already said that though.
Our Patreon is Behind the Likes Pod on Patreon. So yeah, tune into that.
Yay. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.